just like to welcome you all here this morning. Good to see you all. We've been moving through John's Gospel, and last week we looked at this idea of the movements of the Lord from one place to another. We looked at the idea of him moving from Cana down to Capernaum, and this week we're going to be looking at the movement of the Lord from Capernaum up to Jerusalem. And so these are important ideas, and spiritually the idea of place always relates to state or where we're at internally. And so movements from place to place spiritually correspond to movements from one state of life, of thought and affection, to another. And of course the idea of up and down in the scripture has to do with what is more internal and what is more external. So higher things spiritually are thoughts about the Lord, about spiritual life. These are higher things. Lower things are thoughts to do with living a natural life in the natural world, concerns about work, whatever it happens to be. But this is what is meant in Scripture by the difference between what is higher and what is lower. What is higher has to do with the more internal aspects of life, whereas what is lower has to do with the more external aspects of life. And it's important to keep these things in mind as we read through the Gospels, because these are the keys that allow us to enter into the meaning that it has for our life, for our spiritual life. That is, the life of our thought and affection and how we deal with that life. What we promote in terms of our thoughts and affections, and what we resist and seek the Lord to have removed. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we look to you as the source of all forms and expressions of love and wisdom. In and of ourselves, that love is turned to selfishness, and your wisdom to false ideas and perspectives. Your word is your presence with us, to teach us and guide us into all things loving. For these things, along with the wisdom love brings, is what heaven is. Your divine providence guides and directs all things, that we might know the joy of the heavenly life as a reality in our daily lives. You attend to every detail, forever looking to lead us through the processes of regeneration. Lord, that we might enter into that life that is your own. Lord, we look to your word as our guide to live and love, as you would have us do. Amen. And now, so we find our reading in this morning in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." And then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Again, just a few readings from the heavenly doctrines that connect in with our reading this morning. In the Apocalypse Explained 2:20, we read, "In the highest sense, temple signifies the Lord's divine human, and in the relative sense, heaven. And as it signifies heaven, it also signifies the church. For the church is the Lord's heaven on earth. And as temple signifies heaven and the church, it also signifies divine truth proceeding from the Lord, for the reason that this makes heaven and the church. For those who receive divine truth in soul and heart, that is, in faith and love, are they who constitute heaven and the church." From the Apocalypse Explained 840. "By the sellers and buyers are here signified those who make gain for themselves out of holy things. By the tables of the money changers is signified from holy truths." And finally, from the Arcana Celestia 8875. "The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Speaking of the Lord, the zeal of the house of Jehovah denotes his love towards those who receive good and truth, for these are the house of Jehovah." So last week, having looked at this verse that deals with Jesus' journey from Cana down to Capernaum, Cana being, of course, the place where the Lord performed the first sign in John's Gospel, which was the changing or the transformation of water into wine, we saw that spiritually journeys in the Word represent shifts in our states of affection and thought. So as I mentioned before, when you read of a person journeying from one place to another, you're reading about a shift, spiritually speaking, that takes place on a deeper level within a person if the journey is a movement upward, and in a more external level if the journey is one that is moving downward. Now it's important for us to be able to see that these journeys of the Lord in the Word are there to teach us about our own experience of the spiritual life. Now this is more clearly seen when we hold in mind that the mention of Jesus in the literal sense of the word corresponds to the activity of divine truth within the human mind. So when Jesus is journeying, it represents the advancement of divine truth in relation to our own life, in relation to our own states of thought and affection. So as to those places that are journeyed through or are settled in, these correspond to transitional, if they're being travelled through, or settled states of mind, states of thought and affection. And so as Jesus journeys through different places, what we see there is the journey that takes place mentally as divine truth moves into different states of our life, seeking to redeem us, to save us from the influence of selfishness that flows from the loves of self and the world. Now Cana, because that is where the miracle of this transformation of water into wine took place, corresponds to a state of transformation. And water and wine both have water as their main ingredient. And so water and wine represent types of truth. Water being a lower form of truth and wine being a higher form of truth. And so the transformation of water into wine is a state of spiritual advancement. It's a state where we come to see truths of the Word in a different way. It's a state in which we move from a natural perception of truth into a spiritual perception of truth. And that's what this transformation of water into wine signifies. It's a state of spiritual insight, this transformation of water into wine. A state of mind in which we begin to see more clearly how truths from the Word can be applied to those things in the life of our external thought and affection. What happens in this transformation of our understanding of the Word is that we are beginning to get a real sense of there being something higher within. Something higher from which we can view what is lower. And so we're coming into a place, a state of separation between what is more internal and what is more external. We are now beginning to be able to view what is of the natural man from the spiritual man within us. The spiritual man being that man or that understanding that is built up from the Word, from understanding the truths of the Word. And when this level of understanding develops and we are given the ability to begin to view what is lower in us, then what we find is that this new level of insight demands a response. It demands something of us. If the lower lusts of the natural man are to be subdued so that the spiritual man can rule and reign in our life, then we need to respond. We need to respond so that the power of the Word to save us, represented here by Jesus, can make its journey from understanding and insight into action. From understanding into action. And what that is what the Scriptures call repentance. Responding from truths to resist the lusts and evils of the lower man, the love of self and the love of the world. And so we saw that Capernaum is this state of responsiveness to the Word. And this is clear from the meaning of its name. For Capernaum means field of repentance. So you have this movement from Cana, which is insight coming, down into Capernaum, where it is called the field of repentance. So from insights into our external, we are required to make a response, to resist those things that no longer fit with our understanding of what it is to lead the heavenly life. That is what this movement from Cana to Capernaum represents. Repentance is a spiritual discipline, and it's something that constantly must be practiced in the spiritual life. All of our perceptions, all of our thoughts and motives that flow from the lower part of ourselves are clouded with the loves of self and love of the world. And it is only through our being willing to have truths govern the life of our thoughts and affections, and from there our actions, that our life can begin to undergo a purification and cleansing from the evils and falsities that flow out of those lower lusts. Now it is a spiritual law, a law of divine providence, that as we look to respond to divine truths in the external aspects of our life, that then the Lord can move to deal with the more internal as well as the external dimension of these evils and falsities. And this is explained in the following excerpt from the Heavenly Doctrines. Now from the work Divine Providence 120 and 121, we read of this process. And it says this: we know absolutely nothing about the inner state of our minds. Yet there are infinite things there, none of which comes to our awareness. The inner working of our thought or our inner self is our actual spirit. And there are infinite elements there, innumerable elements, just as there are in our physical bodies. In fact, there are even more, since our spirit is human as to its form, and there are elements in it to answer to everything in our bodies. So our spirit is even more complex than our bodies. Now, since our senses tell us nothing about the way our minds or souls are at work, both together and separately, in the elements of our bodies, we do not know how the Lord is at work in all the elements of our minds or souls. That is, in all the elements of our spirits. This activity by the Lord is constant. We have no part in it. But still, the Lord cannot cleanse us from any compulsion to evil in our spirits or inner selves as long as we keep the outer self closed. Each of the evils that we use to keep our outer selves closed seems to be a single item. But there are infinite elements within it. And when we dismiss it as a single item, then the Lord dismisses the infinite elements that it contains. Many people believe that simply believing what the church teaches cleanses us from our evils. Some believe that this is achieved by doing good. Some that what is needed is knowing, discussing and teaching about churchly matters. Some opt for reading the Word and devotional literature. Some for going to church and listening to sermons and especially taking communion. Some for renouncing the world and being resolutely devout. Some for confessing themselves guilty of all sins. The list goes on and on. However, none of these activities cleanses us unless we examine ourselves, see our sins, admit them, accept responsibility for them, and repent by not committing them anymore. Doing all this apparently on our own, but at heart acknowledging that it comes from the Lord. Until this happens, none of the things I just listed helps. They are being done either for credit or hypocritically. So we see from this that we have to examine our life. And in examining our life, we have to attend to what we find in our external man if we want the Lord to attend to the infinite things that lie within each of our external evils. When we do this, represented by Capernaum as the field of repentance, then our deliverance from those selfish lusts that have been brought to our attention draws near. And it is described in today's reading as this: and the Passover of the Jews drew near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The Passover is a symbol for the deliverance from captivity. It was a feast introduced by the Lord that marked the deliverance of the children of Israel from under the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Now this story from the Old Testament, of course, represents every person's deliverance from the tyranny of their selfishness by the power of divine truth. So as we respond to the insights we have received from the Word and have, through that responsiveness, moved into a state of repentance, so then and only then does our deliverance draw near. By our positive responses to divine truths, we effectively give the Lord leave to move into those deeper set things that give life to our external evils, so that they can be dealt with and the power of their hold on our thoughts and affections can be broken. Now, this movement of divine truth to deal with the deeper aspects within those elements of the selfish life, this is represented by Jesus going up to Jerusalem, moving to a deeper level. Because if coming down represents a move towards the more external elements of the mind, then going up is a move to what is more deeply set. And Jerusalem, like Cana and Capernaum, represents a state of life and thought within the human mind. Its natural, higher geographical location tells us that it spiritually represents something more deeply set. For every person, their mental Jerusalem is made up of the core religious values and spiritual beliefs they hold to. And as such, it represents the state of the church that exists within a person's mind. For the church is nothing else than the state of belief from which a person's life or actions proceed. As we live from the truths that we have from the Word, that is, as we engage in the spiritual discipline of repentance in an effort to cease from the specific evils we have had insight into, so the Word is elevated from a more external level of the mind represented by Capernaum into a deeper level or state represented by Jerusalem. Once we make an effort to attend to the more external elements of the loves of self in the world, our attention can then be drawn towards those elements that have laid beyond our consciousness. So we have this movement into the core area of religious belief and spiritual values. And here we find the temple. The temple at Jerusalem, the very center of the nation's being, speaks of the very center of our own being. This is the house of God, or where the divine presence should be housed within the human mind. That's what the temple is. But what is found there? It is found to be filled with traitors, or elements of self-love and self-gain that are in need of being cast out if the mind is to be truly a temple for what is good and true from the Word. The purpose for which divine truths is given is to bring order to our affectional and our thought life so that they conform to the divine laws of love to the Lord and love towards the neighbor. When these things form the core of our being, then the mind is a temple for the Lord. We read about the fact that external evils and falsities have deeper elements to them, that they are infinite in number. We have no way of grasping the extent of these things. And we are taught that this that we might be motivated to move and deal with what we can see, what we can do something about. The simple external thing. So then the Lord can move and remove all those things that flow into those external things and keep them living within our mind. Now, these deeper elements within external evils are represented by those selling oxen, sheep, and doves in the temple, and the money changers that were sitting there. These internal elements found in the temple, these are opposed to genuine goods and truths from the Word and shut them out through their trading. Shut them out from that area of the mind that is reserved by the Lord for the goods and truths from His Word. So divine revelation is given so that we can at least be aware that they are there, whether we are conscious of them or not. For until we are prepared to take external truths from the Word and use them as a mirror to reflect on the states of our own life, and then act from this to desist from our evils, the Lord is powerless to act. But if we take hold of the Word and use it to repent from what we know is unloving, from what we know is selfishly motivated, then something can then begin to take place. Something that will see these more interior aspects of our life cleansed from those things that rob us of our spiritual potential. Those who sell oxen, sheep, and doves are those aspects of our proprium that takes the good affections given to man by the Lord and uses them for self-gain or gratification. The money changers are those who exchange money. And as money is representative of the power of truth to acquire good, power of truth to bring love into our life, that's what money represents in the Word. Those who change it in the context of this setting, because they are in a negative frame as far as the things of God are concerned, these are those elements within our proprium that looks to change truths into what is false to justify the pleasures of the natural man. The patterns of thought and selfish delights responsible for defiling the human mind must be cast out. And it can only be accomplished by means of the Word. And so it is that we read that making a whip out of small ropes, he threw all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen, and the money changers, pouring out the money and overthrowing the tables. The small ropes that drive these things out, these are truths from the Word. When they are taken hold of and used to oppose what is against the Lord and the spiritual life, those truths are powerful if we take them into our life. They are able to cast out evil affections of self-love. And they can overturn the tables of false thinking. Those things that seek to pervert the holiness and sanctity of the human mind for the dwelling of the Lord's own life, of His love and His wisdom. This is the use that truths of the Word must be put to if we are to know the power of the Lord to save us from ourselves. If we would do this, then we would know firsthand the zeal the Lord has for our salvation. The zeal of his house has eaten me up. The Lord wants to cleanse and purify our life, and he asks us to take hold of his word, which he has given us, so that that might become a reality for us. Amen.